Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest running Dynasty focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Hart.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 47 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Welcome back, Brian. You missed last week. Last week's show was met with mixed reviews. Me, Tyler, Gunther, and Peter Howard. Some people said it was the best show they've ever listened to. Some people said they couldn't listen to it. But who cares? I had fun. But Brian, we're glad you're back. So how was your date with Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, went well, man. I was everything she was hoping for, and she wasn't bad herself, so worked out pretty well.
How'd the wife take it?
Oh, she loved it. I mean, she came along, so.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, glad you're back, because we have some stuff to talk about that sort of involves not necessarily you specifically, but your fandom.
Yeah, man.
You want to just jump right into it?
Yeah, sure.
So let's talk about Mr. Big Chest. God.
Mr. Big Chest.
All right. So as if bleaching his mustache wasn't weird enough, Antonio Brown no longer wants to be called AB. He wants to be called Mr. Big Chest. I mean,
MBC.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
I want to make a joke about that, but I just don't even know what to say. It's just like, I hope you're doing well, man. Like, that's like, I feel like he needs to be checked in on. Like, that's not normal.
Yeah. But so, yeah, this the whole situation with Antonio Brown, almost said AB, trying to respect his wishes. I don't know why, but I am. Yeah, it's just a mess. I mean, you know, and as a Steelers fan, right, I'm just sick of this, just altogether. I mean, it was Bell last year. It's Brown this year. I'm just ready for it all to be over. Just they need to move on from these guys. And it's going to be a big loss for sure. Both of those guys are superstars in the league as far as their on-field work. But they're head cases, and they're nuts, and they are not worth the trouble. I mean, the team has had both of these players on the squad for 4 years together, 5 years together, however long Bell was there. I think he was there for last year would have been 5 feet of played. And they didn't win anything. So, you know, and now not those guys aren't obviously solely to blame. They, you know, certainly did their part. You look at the way Antonio Brown played in the Jacksonville loss in the playoffs 2 years ago. I mean, he was outstanding. He was injured, and he just was unreal, you know. So he was not to blame for that. And with Bell, same thing. I mean, the week before in the wild card, or 2 weeks before in the wild card round, you know, he goes off for 160 and breaks the Steelers' playoff rushing record. So, I mean, both of these guys are outstanding players and meant a lot to the team from on the field production stuff. But, you know, the off the field stuff has taken its toll on this team over the last several seasons. They're not the only ones to blame. Ben Roethlisberger plays a part in that. Mike Tomlin plays a part in that, not shutting that shit down. You know, and other players, you know, I mean, there's more involved here than just these two guys, but these two guys played a big role in the way this team has underachieved over the last 2 years, you know, from a locker room standpoint. So, and a distraction standpoint. So, I'm ready to see the team move on from both of these guys. You know, yeah, there's going to be a production loss and drop off most likely, maybe not as hard at running back as we saw last year with Connor, but, you know, and they do have Juju to step in. We'll see how that all goes with him, you know, facing number one corners and getting double teamed and all that. But yeah, I'm just ready for it to end. And this whole AB thing is just weird. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting too, that isn't so much national news, but in the Pittsburgh media, there's a lot of, little incidents that have gone on with Antonio Brown that have been kind of brushed under the water by the national media. You know, he threw a chair or some type of furniture out of a window at his apartment and almost hit a kid that was walking down the street, or a guy that was walking down the street. That was like two years ago. You know, he got caught speeding on his way to the stadium going like 130 miles an hour on the parkway.
I mean, I remember that. And there like happened to be like a bank robbery going on at the time, right? And yeah, like one news media tried to like link the two or something.
Yeah. So, and you know, and then he has the most recent thing that was reported by TMZ, where he pushed his baby mama, or whatever you want to say there. And, you know, in a domestic thing where he's trying to get custody of his kid, but pushed the woman who is the kid's mother. And, you know, so it's just, there's just a lot of stuff. I'm just ready to be done with the headache, and I think the Steelers are too with these types of
players.
Well,
on social media today, I don't remember which it was. There was a picture with him and I believe one of the Rooneys where they had their arms around each other, and it was pretty much like, thanks, but peace out. And it's, you know, he said it was a mutual parting of the ways at this point.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's not your problem anymore, or it won't be, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. You know, he's done as a Pittsburgh Steeler. You know, and we'll see where he ends up. I mean, from a personal standpoint, and again, as a Steelers fan, I'm pissed too about, like, he's hurting his value. Like, you know, if he does this quietly and goes to the team and just says, "Listen, I'm not going to play for you next year. I'm done playing here. Either trade me or, you know, I'm going to sit out," then the Steelers can look to move him and gain full value or close to full value for him. All this garbage that he's doing in the media every single day, these posts on a 9-minute Instagram post yesterday, which was basically a bunch of incoherent rambling while he was on a treadmill or something. It was ridiculous, you know, and all these statements that he's making. And it's just, you know, it hurts the Steelers in terms of them getting as much value for this player as they can, because some of these teams are looking at this going, "We don't want this headache either," you know, and that hurts his value in terms of NFL value. You know, from a fan,
we don't care about NFL value.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Go ahead.
Let's give credit where credit's due, because I, you know, I always ask for Twitter questions. Twitter tough guy himself at Wrecked Fantasy. Bobby wants to know, is Mr. Big Chest's antics impacting his fantasy value in our eyes? So continue what you were about to say. Fantasy value.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily does.
Well, before you start, we were just talking ADP before we started recording.
Yeah.
January, he was around like 14, I think. In February, he is at 24, I think I said. 23 or 24. So he dropped almost around already. So, okay. No, good. We jumped right into the news and I forgot to give it what this thing was. See, you're gone 1 week. Everything falls apart. No more missing shows.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about some startups today, because I'm in the middle of like 18 of them. And it was, we're getting a lot of questions about it also. So I figured, why not? So let's pull up. We have Trade Addicts 5 and Trade Addicts 6 drafts going down.
Yeah, we do.
Well, these are super flex, so it's a little different. But here we go. In Trade Addicts 5, Antonio Brown went 26th overall at 302. Real quick, 1, 2, 3, 4-ish quarterbacks went before that. So, I mean, that's pretty much ADP-ish, even a little before what February says.
And in 6, he went 34th overall, the 10th pick of the third round.
Even a little later. And It looks like there's even, I'm sure even more quarterbacks. The quarterbacks went nuts in this draft.
Yeah, they did.
It probably still puts him around that 25-ish range.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we seem, hey, that's pretty cool. We seem pretty on par with the community at mm-hmm. large. So is that real? Do you think this is where his value lies right now?
I do, but I think it more has to do with the fact that there's uncertainty surrounding the situation. Nobody knows where he's going to go. He could go to a great situation. I heard on TV today, Green Bay, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me from a financial standpoint.
Have literally never done before.
Yeah, yeah, and right, exactly. So from a financial standpoint and from a organizational structure standpoint, that makes absolutely no sense to me. But I did hear that on ESPN today. That tells you something too. But if he landed somewhere like that, or even San Francisco wouldn't be a bad spot, I don't think. With Jimmy Garoppolo. Right, well, and
okay,
but he could. Is but if he lands with the place? Yeah, if he lands with the Jets, do you like him with Sam Darnold? I don't. I mean,
he's so good. I like him anywhere. I mean,
but here's the thing:
Where would he have to go for his value to drop?
Anywhere but
Buffalo.
Anywhere but Pittsburgh. That's the thing. I don't
from where it is right now.
From where it is right now, yeah. Okay, that's fair. Yeah, probably. Yeah, you're right. It would probably take somewhere like Buffalo.
But like, it has to be somewhere with. I mean, it's just that it's not. I don't want to talk Josh Allen. Because A, he was doing pretty well, and it just seems like it was the thing to do forever. But even when he was doing well as a passer, it was with Foster going down deep. And that's not really the bulk of MBC's name. I can't do it. Of Antonio Brown's name. Game. Name. It might be tough for, like, that's not a good mesh. I mean, like, if he wanted to be spiteful and go to Baltimore, I don't think that's good. Like, fit either, but it's still like, do you think anything is that bad it would crush his value? I don't think it is.
Here's the other thing Here's the other thing that I think a lot of people are missing here too. The Steelers control where he goes, period. I mean,
truth, because they have to trade him. So it's not like trade him to the Ravens.
Exactly. He has 3 years left on his contract. So, I mean, the Steelers control where he goes. Now, they may be limited in where they can send him based on who shows interest in trading for him, but they're not trading him to the NFC or AFC North. They're not going to trade him to the Patriots, teams like that. Now, maybe Miami, do I love him in Miami? No. And I don't think that makes sense either, because I don't think that's a team that's trying to compete right now.
Oh,
so,
no, they're crash and burning on purpose.
So, you're probably right. I think where his value is right now in the early third round-ish, late second, early third round, middle third round, I think that's probably, I know Peter, who we had on last week. I mean, he's a big Antonio Brown guy. He's like top five dynasty asset for Peter still, even with this uncertainty. And I think the player, I mean, I think Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers probably to ever play the game. I do.
Yeah.
But I think this whole idea, that these superstar players are going to have a better situation outside of Pittsburgh.
The ball so much. He's been with Ben for so long that you've seen that he doesn't even do that well. Okay, their backup's always kind of terrible, but he just has such a rapport with Ben, and so he catches Ben's ball so well. Couldn't find the right way to word that.
But here's the other thing. I mean, in Pittsburgh, I mean, these receivers, see, this is the other thing about the Steelers, and it drives people who hate the Steelers. Okay. So half of my friends on fantasy Twitter, James, Josh, Joe, all the Browns. Yes. All the Browns guys.
Minnesotan half doesn't really care too much.
Right. Right. So, the Steelers do business a certain way. They just typically do. And what's driving Steelers fans crazy is since Mike Tomlin came in there, the business has been done a little bit differently, at least up until the point where they took a hard stance on Le'Veon Bell. And when they did that, and now Brown, you know, so they may be getting back. But the Steelers have done this for the longest time. I mean, Hines Ward leaves, Mike Wallace becomes a star. And Hines, I mean, he was a star. He wasn't really a fantasy star, but he was, you know, I mean, he's going to hopefully get in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. So Ward leaves, Wallace comes in. Wallace leaves, Brown steps in. Brown's going to leave, Juju's there. Like, you're never, you know, what's the one constant? Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger's been there the whole time, right? So
he was also kind of terrible in the beginning, though.
He was. I mean, they didn't ask him to do as much early in his career.
Like, they won that first Super Bowl despite him.
Yes, absolutely. And really, the second Super Bowl, he played much better.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, yeah. I mean, they did. They won that first one despite him. So the first couple years were rough, but you know, but he turned Mike Wallace into a fantasy relevant player. He turned. You know, I'm not going to say he turned AB into a fantasy relevant player because
I dropped my phone. Sorry.
That was really funny. Your facial expression was hilarious there. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say he turned Antonio Brown into a fantasy relevant player because I think Brown would have been successful no matter where he was. But, you know, Roethlisberger, the guys that play with him, I think it's probably tough to play with him because he's kind of a jerk, you know, and he does do these weird, he has these weird motivation tactics where he just calls guys out, and I mean from Antonio Brown's standpoint,
motivation, or is it just being kind of a douche?
Yeah, well, and I get that. Like, I can see where AB would think, like, hey, I'm just as big of a star as you, shut your mouth, you know what I mean? But like, yes. There comes a point where it's like, just like, you got to get over it, or you got to fire back at him in a manner where it's like, hey, I don't care who you are, like, respect me, instead of banging on your chest and going to social media and saying respect me and I'm leaving and all this stuff. Go to him and say, listen, you respect me, don't call me out like that, you know, or so I don't know. And nobody knows really exactly what's going on in these locker rooms and in these conversations and in practice and all this stuff, but I can just imagine, you know, the drama. I mean, and Ben seems to always be at the middle of that too, so It's just a mess. I'm ready for it to be over. I think this does hurt. I mean, it has hurt his value in from a real NFL value standpoint in terms of what the Steelers are going to receive. Fantasy wise, I don't think he's going to drop much more than where he is right now, at least in the next year. Beyond that, though, he might. He'll be 32 years old after this coming season. So, you know, I mean, at 28, receivers are old all of a sudden. So.
All right. Well, we've talked about that long enough, but we're going to do one quick thing. Medieval Gridiron at MG_Dynasty wants us to play a game of who would you rather with Antonio Brown. Okay. His first is Antonio Brown or Kerryon Johnson. AB. Let's assume, you know, regular PPR kind of league.
AB.
Yeah, I'm still taking AB. Like, he even says he knows that they're pretty far apart, but that he's stuck on it. But yep. Let's pull up DLF ADP where we have AB at 23. Mm-hmm. Let's start going down. Travis Kelce in a tight end premium.
Tight end premium?
Yeah.
If it's a trade addicts league, I'm taking Kelce. That's
which
so you we're,
did. We're going to talk about that a little later.
Yeah,
there's a decent amount of tight end questions, so we're definitely going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen.
I'd take AB.
Here's a good one. Le'Veon Bell, who also now posted a picture on Twitter with like a bunch of blunts in the corner of the picture.
I saw that. What an idiot.
Yeah. So
I'm probably taking Brown.
Yeah, we think we're both
based
go
on that.
That one.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook.
I would probably take Cook. But
Brandon
it would be
Cooks.
Really close. I'd take. Oh, man, that's tough.
I think I'd take Brandon.
I think I would, too.
And now here we are. Ertz. Okay, so I think this is the drop off. Ertz and Kittle are the next two in ADP.
I would consider Ertz. I would not take Kittle over Brown.
And then we hit like Darius Geis, Kerryon Johnson, Sony Michel, Leonard Fournette, Robert Woods. I think those are all, I think,
AB.
We're on AB.
Yep.
So, I mean, that seems like he's priced pretty properly at this point. I mean, let's go up a bit. Stephon Diggs?
I'd take Diggs.
Yeah,
at this point.
Man, Mahomes in a 1QB league.
No. In 1QB,
Connor.
No.
Yeah, James Connor?
I'd take Connor.
Last one, Amari Cooper.
Oh, I'd probably still take AB.
Yeah, I think I'd take Cooper. So yeah, he's priced pretty alliteration for the loss because I couldn't say it. Priced pretty properly at around that 24-ish mark.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, because let's face it, there's a chance he goes somewhere that is almost as good as Pittsburgh, and crud, he's only the wide receiver 4. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess if you can get him for this price and you're, let's say you have a 90% safe roster, I'd say go buy AB right now, right? Like, I don't want to base my team around him because he might just flame the hell out.
Yeah.
Because he's going a little crazy. Can't get over the bleached mustache.
Yeah, like, it's really bad.
That
it's
shows really bad judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking with that one, but
all right. Was there something else? Okay, but let's pivot quickly. I forgot who asked me. Someone asked me about James Washington's value, and that someone was sniffing around the idea of the 105 for James Washington. Are we going that crazy, given what you were saying before with their succession of replaceable is the wrong word, but ability to replace their wide receivers?
Ooh.
Okay. Pretend we did not know. Pretend it was yesterday and we did not know 100% that Antonio Brown was going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think James Washington's value was? Do you think he was a late first?
I think, yeah, probably. I mean, late first, early second with the writing that was on the wall. I mean, even if Brown would have returned, I don't think, I mean, he would not have signed long term. And I think they would have considered cutting him. He'd have played this year and then they'd have cut him.
All right. So do you think now, I mean,
105.
It's not 100% until he's gone, but
yeah.
I feel like this is as close as we can get to knowing. Does this catapult James Washington to the like mid first, like the 105, 106 area? To me, it doesn't change that much. We kind of knew this was coming.
I guess it depends.
It gets that little certainty bump. I still don't know if I feel good paying over like the 108, 109.
Yeah. Well,
which in this class is like a.
Yeah.
Sorry, you go.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I guess it just depends on where you were on Washington last year, you know, in rookie drafts. You know, if you were buying him 107, 108, 109, then yeah, you're going to absolutely want that for him now. I mean, it looks a lot better, like a lot better situation now than it did last week, essentially, you know. But if you got him in the mid second, would you sell him for an early second? Maybe, maybe not. Probably late not. First, you know.
Yeah,
It just depends too on how you value the rookie class this year. I think Washington, I would not, if I owned Washington, I would not take anything less than a first for sure.
Absolutely. At this point, you need to see that one. Yeah, for sure.
So,
all right, but that's good enough. Before we get into the startups, there was also a lot of questions regarding the Cleveland Browns backfield.
Yeah.
Oof, I don't know why my brain froze on that. I think the Hunt and Chubb thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's forget last week was relevant in any. How do you feel about it? Because I don't think we even talked about it. How do you feel about this backfield right now?
So, from a football standpoint, I think John Dorsey is a genius because.
The more you think about it, the more you realize that, yeah.
Yeah, because. Signing Kareem Hunt for the Browns is like, is there really a lose scenario here? They didn't pay him much money. They signed him to a 1-year contract. You know, if something happens where Nick Chubb is injured or isn't performing or something like that, then once he returns from suspension, Hunt can add to that backfield, right? Or can keep, you know, when he comes back, he can spell Chubb a little bit if they're making a playoff run or something like that. God, that sounds weird. Ooh, Browns in the playoffs.
It's coming, buddy.
It is coming.
Preparing yourself.
I'm prepared. I always say to you know, the Cleveland guys never believe me when I say this, but I do not hate the Browns. I hate the Ravens, because the Ravens,
we know you hate the Ravens.
So the Ravens are the Ravens, but they're also the original Browns. So yes. I hate the Ravens. That's the team that I hate. I respect the hell out of them, but I hate them. The Browns are like, I mean, they just don't bother me that bad. Anyways, yeah, it is coming. I mean, they're building. They finally have the pieces in place, and hopefully the right coach finally too, where they can go ahead and get it done. So,
okay,
but fantasy, yeah, but football. Yeah. So fantasy wise, I mean, when I first heard the news, I was like, oh shit, like Nick Chubb shares, right?
I screamed into the heavens.
Yeah, and I think for me, it probably takes the certainty of so Nick Chubb. I mean, we're talking about a player that was going. I mean, 15 to 18 in startups. Mm-hmm. You know, people were trading up for him. Me,
13 February, DLF.
Yeah, so I mean, end of the first, early second round. He, you know, I think people that took him there with the confidence of this guy's going to be a workhorse back are probably shaking in their boots a little bit. Having said that, I don't know that it really changes a whole lot. Hunt isn't going to be there for probably half of the season. You know, because of a suspension, you know, and then when he comes back, who knows if he's, you know, in football shape. I mean, he hasn't played. It'll be over a year at that point. You know, so we'll just have to see. I'm not overly concerned about it. The guy that takes the biggest hit here, in my opinion, is Duke. This sucks for Duke.
That's where this was all leading.
Okay. Yeah, this sucks for Duke. And I, you know, maybe he's the one that ends up getting traded instead of Hunt. One of those guys is getting moved. I mean, they're not going to keep them all.
All right. So let's bring this into where I was leading it to. Trade Addicts Trades, Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, Tight End Premium. In Trade Addicts 2, Duke Johnson was traded for the 206. How do you feel about that?
I would have liked to get Duke a little cheaper than that. But I don't have a problem with it. I think one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to move on from Hunt, you know, they're going to move Kareem Hunt as soon as he has some value, or cut him at the end of the season and get a compensatory pick, or let him walk at the end of the season and get a compensatory pick, right? Because I think I read that somewhere. They'll get a third-round pick for him.
A third-round pick, yeah.
Which is amazing. I mean, think about that. They pay the guy $600,000 or whatever they're paying. I don't know what they're paying him, but they don't pay him much, all, you know, in the grand scheme of things, and they're going to end up getting a third-round freaking pick if they just sign him and let him sit on a bench and have him walk. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's brilliant. You know, it's brilliant by Dorsey. So, you know, so if that happens, then you have Chubb, who's your, you know, pretty much your first down, second down, goal line, occasional third down. And then you have Duke, who can be the receiving back, who can also play some in the slot if or wherever. At receiver, I mean, I know Jarvis Landry's kind of in that role, but do you move him outside and play Duke in the slot? I don't know. Probably not, but he's going to have some value there if Hunt isn't there. They could choose to keep Hunt and move on from Duke or trade Duke if they think they can get more than what a third-round pick would be. I don't think any team's paying a third-round pick for Duke Johnson at this point, but, you know. I don't know. I mean, I think the 206 is a little high. But if I owned him, I wouldn't sell him for anything less than probably a late second. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of with you on this one. for the fantasy owner in me would want Duke Johnson for the same reason that we're talking about. Like, he's probably the player that's going to get moved in all of this. And you have that little bit of tingling, like, ooh, maybe he goes somewhere juicy, somewhere that really needs that receiving back. And I mean, the 206 isn't a terrible price to pay. You're at that point where you're throwing darts. Like, if you don't have, like, if you're out on this class, you don't have that value guy to plant your flag in, why then, why not the 206? I mean, it's not a nothing valued pick, but you just might not value it. So I'm fine with either side of this. If I think you can get him cheaper, and you should damn well try first. I mean, I don't know who did this or if there was any negotiation whatsoever, but yeah, definitely try for a third first, see what happens. I don't know. I just wanted to talk about that because Duke was brought up in a couple of questions that since I knew this trade happened, I was a jerk and didn't write down anybody's names. So my bad, all those people that tweeted at me asking if we could talk about Duke Johnson's value. But we're going to get to the main event.
Oh, I missed the main event.
Nice. We're going to talk about startups because, like I said before, I got a lot of them going on. And it is that season for most of us. The first question we're going to get into is, Brian, when is your favorite time to do startups? And clearly, just to throw it out there, Dynasty, because some best balls are actually starting this early, which is insane a little bit. But, you know, this is a Dynasty show, so just wanted to put it out there. When do you like to do your Dynasty fantasy football startups?
I like to do them. I mean, I don't like to do them all at once.
Yeah, which... where were you 2 weeks ago? Warn me, you knew all these leagues were coming. You could have been like, yo, bro,
space it out. Yeah.
I have to call Jennifer Aniston and tell her to get off my man.
Hey, sorry.
He needs his attention right over here.
I mean, I like doing them now. I like, you know, you get done with the Super Bowl, you give it a couple weeks, and then start them up. Last week on the open bar, they were talking about, J Mike was talking about startups and slow drafts, right? And that's one thing. Like, I like slow drafts. I like that. And it drives me nuts. I understand wanting to keep the drafts moving. And when you're the next guy up, especially, sometimes it can feel like the person in front of you takes forever. I totally get that. But it is a slow draft and it is February and there is literally nothing going on. So we've all hurried to get these drafts done. And now it's instead, you know, it starts on February 12th and now it's February 19th and we have nothing to do until the draft, until the NFL draft. So, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like the slow draft. You know, it never bothers me when people kind of take their time. But as far as when, I like to do them now, I like to do them into March. It also depends for me, like, in the Trade Addicts leagues, we pick rookie picks in the startup.
No, don't skip ahead.
All right. But it makes a difference. Like, to me, that makes a difference on when I like to do drafts too. If the rookies are actually going to be involved as opposed to the picks, then I would rather do it after the NFL draft so we know situation a little bit better. But that's just me. So,
yeah, I like now. This, to be full on startup, I like now. And man, I didn't even wait a week after the Super Bowl. I want, like, the Monday after the Super Bowl, I think, is when I started putting the leagues together already, filled them in less than a week, and then started. Actually, that's a lie. We started the Monday after. So I waited a week. Mm-hmm. Man, I was, hey, Russ, just kind of slow down a bit. There's plenty of time.
The
point scoring season has a couple of months. You don't need to do it right away. Damn it, Brian.
Sorry.
But no, now is my favorite time for startups anyway, in February. I love including the rookie picks in the draft. Now we'll move on. how do you like to deal with your rookies? Do you like them in the draft? Do you like drafting rookie picks, or do you like just having a separate draft?
I mean, I typically like doing it the way that we do it, which is having the picks included in the draft. But I will say, so in the Superflex mocks for DLF, the rookies are in there like by name.
Yes.
You can take them. And I end up with a hell of a lot more rookies in those mocks than I do.
You feel
picks.
Kind of obligated to take them. It's so weird.
It is.
All right. I'm totally just going to cut you off. Last year, I did that. That podcast league draft, and I think it was like in March, and it was before the draft, and the rookies were involved just as players. It felt like, first of all, it was a lot of fun. I definitely don't want every league to be like that, but you saw like Baker went off the board, and then you're just like, oh man, I need to grab one of these young, I need one of these receivers, one of these quarterbacks. And it's just like that's how it felt. Like you saw the, it's a little different. Like the 101 goes off the board and you're like, yeah, that's fine. It's just a pick, whatever. But then when you see that name come off the board, you feel compelled to grab those rookies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it worked. It was awesome because like before I really knew who Mark Andrews was, I drafted Mark Andrews just because I wanted a rookie athletic tight end. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know I've heard this guy's name, and I missed out on E.S. Thomas, Mr. Big Hands. So it was just like, to me, that was a lot of fun. I don't want that every time. I like doing, to be more specific, you know, the actual individual picks 101, 102, 103 are draftable assets. So when you hit a point where you don't know what player you want to draft, you could just be like, oh, I'll take the 104. Mm-hmm. And then after the NFL draft, you will have a separate rookie draft. The reason I like this better is A, more drafts the better.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I don't like any way of picking a rookie draft order that is not based on prior year's performance.
Mm-hmm.
Since the point of snake drafts is supposed to be that every pick has equal value, because you get that first overall player, you're waiting a hell of a long time before it gets back. But if you have the last pick, you're getting two in a row. Rookie drafts don't snake. So a lot of the times you see reverse startup order, but that's not fair because technically pick 1 and pick 12 have the same value in that draft, but not in the rookie draft.
Mm-hmm.
Random isn't fair. I mean, this year it's not as big of a deal because there's no Saquon, there's no Zeke, but like a random team was getting Zeke for no reason and not having to spend any real capital on it. They were gifted this player.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the reason I want separate drafts, because like I said, more drafts are more fun, and B, more stuff to trade. I mean, you could trade startup picks, you could trade rookie picks. So clearly that's my brand, our brand. But yeah, you're picking them. I mean, even if you want to pick a rookie draft slot, I've heard people talk about like, oh, I want to pick, you know, rookie pick ones. So you get the 101, 201, 301.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in the startup, that's a little better. Anything's better than random, or, well, to me, even reverse startup is random. So yeah, I'm a big fan of rookie picks in the startup, which is the way the Trade Addicts leagues do it.
Mm-hmm.
Strategies. Let's just jump straight in. We're going to talk about Superflex first, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
101, I think we know your answer. Just say it out loud.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley, 101. In TradeDX 5 and 6, Saquon Barkley did go 101. Mm-hmm. And I agree. Both of those drafts, 102, Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
I think that should be 1 and 2 of every single Superflex draft.
I really do too at this point. And honestly, I can understand the argument. I wouldn't do it because I'm slightly biased. But I can understand the argument for either of those guys at one. I mean, I can understand people taking Patty Mahomes over Saquon. I probably wouldn't do it, but I understand the intrigue. I mean, that's he's to do what he did in his first year as a starter, essentially, you know, his second year in the league, first year as a starter. It's outstanding. Will he regress? Probably. But if he regresses to if his numbers regress by 25%, which is a huge drop, he's still like top five quarterback. So, you know, I mean, he was that far and away better than pretty much everybody else this year. So. And he's 20, what, two, three? So,
yeah. So in startup drafts, if you ask anyone on Twitter, what are they going to say to do with your first round pick?
Move back.
Here's the problem we fall into. When mm-hmm. everybody wants to move back, nobody's moving back. Mm-hmm. We found this the hard way in these recent Trade Addicts leagues. Last year, I fought the stream, and when everyone was trying to trade back, I'm like, let's see what I can get out of this. Last year, so many people wanted to trade back that it was actually a little cheaper to trade up. Mm-hmm. This year, we had some very stubborn owners, and they did not want to let me trade up cheaply. When we first, there wasn't that great of a time between selecting the draft order and starting the draft. As soon as the draft order was selected, which we do, maybe if you convinced me to space these out, we would have done something more fun, but I just let MFL randomize it. Mm-hmm. Feel free to do fun stuff to pick draft orders. That's on. Oh, that's a lie. For Trade Addicts 6, we did a derby. Let's explain this one. What we did was, instead of having My Fantasy League, which is the site we use, which is the site you should be using, to randomize our draft order, I used random list generator of the names in the team, words, wrong, the names in the league. And what we did with that order is we then selected our draft slot. So instead of when Brian's name comes up first, he doesn't get the first slot. He could say, I want to draft from the 106. And then it's my turn. I want to draft from the 102. So as you go down that list, you get to pick where your draft slot is. I don't have anything. That's a lie. I'm about to say that I don't have anything against it, but my problem with it is, which are two very contradicting statements. I'm okay with it. My biggest problem is that takes a little bit away from trading because you're going to get a decent amount of people who will land where they want to be. Mm-hmm. But in a random, who the hell knows? But where I started with this was for those 2 days that we had in between our draft order being selected and our startup, no picks got traded. Everyone wanted a trade back. If you are looking to move up in a draft, which everyone will tell you not to do, but screw them, go get your guy. If you want to have two super studs, you go for it. Wait until the draft starts. I think when order is first generated, people are ballooning the idea of that first round pick, even if it's the 112. It's just like so, it's like the opposite of rookie drafts. And rookie drafts, the closer you are to that pick being on the board, the more expensive it is. I feel like the second the draft order is selected is the most expensive draft picks are in startups. Mm-hmm. I've never said this out loud, so I'm curious to see what you think about that. Because that's just, and then picks start happening and guys are like, okay, no, I really actually just want to get off this. Let's see what reasonable deal I could make. I know in Trade Addicts 6, I woke up at 5 a.m, saw I had a trade offer from J Mike where he offered me the 102 for, I think I had the 6th slot, the 106 and the 306. I literally woke up, oh, cool, except draft Mahomes and went right back to sleep. I woke up and I'm like, wait, did that actually happen? And I'm like, I got Mahomes, yeah. I mean, to me, that's a price I'll pay for Mahomes all day. So I was thankfully okay with my drunken stupor of a trade accept. But to me, like I said before, just to reiterate the point before I ask your opinion on it, I think if you're looking to trade up, especially into that first round, wait for it to happen. Because I think people, at least the people that we associate ourselves with, mm-hmm. get super excited right away. And they just want to show the world what they can do trading down. And I think it slowly comes back down to earth once the actual draft starts. All right. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. What's funny about these two startups, we're both in both of these leagues, and my strategies in these two leagues were completely different. So I kind of go into drafts like with an idea based on my draft slot, what I want to do. But like, for example, for me, if I have one of those top two picks, I'm absolutely taking one of those guys. Like, I'm not trading out of that slot. I don't care what the value says or what the smart things or the analytics or the whatever said. If I can get Saquon Barkley or Pat Mahomes to start my team off, I'm taking that pick, especially if I don't have to trade up to get them, right? So, I agree with you. I think when you go into drafts, people are like fired up. Everybody is. It's like, oh, what can I do? What can I do? Right. And then you have all these grand ideas, and then you start talking to people, and it's like, well, yeah, well, I want to trade back, but I want this, this, and this. And it's like, well, I'm not paying that, you know, or the other way, you know, yeah, I want to trade up. Well, this is what it's going to take for you to trade up. Well, I'm not going to pay that. So, yeah, I mean, I think you settle in kind of. The other thing that happens, like you said, I think a lot of times people will sit and wait to see who falls, right? And if the guys that they don't like don't fall, or all the players that they would have picked out of that slot have been picked, like if it kind of goes status quo, then the price drops because they're like, well, I don't really want this player. I mean, this is who I should take or will take, but I don't really want this guy. Maybe I can get a little bit on top to move back a few slots. I've never seen anybody. So I will say this too. In Trade Addicts 5, Jordan McNamara and Tim Torch share a team. And Jordan, of course, was on our show several episodes ago, and he talked to us about that a little bit, about moving back, and I think it's in the book too, his book and whatnot, but
dynasty.com, go buy now.
Yes. I've never seen someone do it as much as he did. Like, he backs up what he tells people to do. I've never seen anyone move back the way that he moved back in that draft. And I actually, I mean, that was, I was on the other end of that, because I was one of the guys that got offered a trade to move up into one of their spots, and I did it, and I ended up taking Nick Chubb, which, you know, the Kareem Hunt news hadn't dropped yet. But
all right, real quick, their first pick was the 209.
Yep.
And they had 11 picks in the first 9 rounds. Throwing it out there, what they did, because you were saying their moves. I just wanted to actually put it out there what they were doing.
Yeah.
209, 2 in the 3rd, 2 in the 4th, a 5th, 2 in the 7th, 8th, 2 in the 9th.
Yep.
And 2 in the 12th, but that's outside the top 100. They moved.
Right, but sorry, I think I was just going to say, I think overall what you said is I'm on board with that too. I think, you know, heading into drafts, you know, that price usually drops because people realize that they're not going to get what they think they're going to get when they first enter a draft. So that makes sense to me.
All right. So I want to talk about your first round pick in Trade Addicts 5.
Okay.
You took Travis Kelce in the first round.
I did.
Now, the Trade Addicts leagues are tight end premium, but we do 1.75 instead of 1.5. So it's a little more than your average premium, I guess you could say. You still stand behind that, or do you double thinking it? That is not real words.
No, I'll stand behind it. I'll stand behind it. Because here's the thing. In the scoring that we play in the Trade Addicts leagues, okay, I was the 111, so I took him with the 11th overall pick. The 111.
Oh, true. I said 12, my bad.
That's okay. Kelsey was 14th overall in scoring in this format last year. Okay. He put up 2 points in week one, 2.3 points in week one.
Wow.
He scored
still 14th. He's still at 23.993 points per game after putting up two in the first week.
Yeah. I mean, he scored 14 points in every game. After that, he had, let me see, 11 games over 18 points and 8 games over 20 points. So, I mean, yeah.
All right.
Here's the other thing. So Zach Ertz actually was the tight end one. He scored half a point more than Kelsey over the course of the season, but the guys in front. So, Kamara, Barkley outscored Kelsey in this format by 5 points. Jared Goff, who was 10th overall in scoring, outscored Kelsey by 7 points. Breeze by 8 points. Rodgers by 10 points. So, like, to me, the positional advantage, and here's the other thing. So Ertz and Kelsey were the 13th and 14th scorers. Okay. Kittle was the 30th scorer. Okay, so he was the tight end three. He was the 30th scorer overall. He scored 70 points less than Kelsey did. So every week, my tight end is scoring 4. No, more than that. No, about that. He's scoring about 4.5 points more than every single tight end, including George Kittle, outside of Ertz last year. And I think Ertz is going to take a step back this year. Not a big step back, but I think he's going to take a step back.
All right. So we're going to use this to pivot to tight ends because we have a ton of tight end questions.
Yeah.
Since we're also talking about strategy a little bit, I haven't come around on tight ends because I still don't think I'm willing to spend what it takes like you did, which was I think it's a smart move. I just don't think I have it in me yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm there where I want one of those top three guys somehow,
because
otherwise it's so frustrating to deal with this tight end landscape. Yeah. I'm hoping people stay healthy. I'm hoping that even more youth comes in, and well, we know they are coming in, but I hope the young guys start contributing and they start actually beefing up the tight end position in general, because it's so, especially last year. In Trade Addicts 5, the top three were off the board by 207.
Mm-hmm.
Kittle actually went before Ertz in Trade Addicts 5. In Trade Addicts 6, Kittle went before Ertz, and Ertz went at the 308. I don't think I'm willing to spend that on the tight ends, but it seems like that's what you have to do. Clearly, you're able to do it. And I think I am at the point, at least, where I don't begrudge people that are willing to do it. Like, I used to be like, yeah, you go do that. I'm going to go draft myself another wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I get it now. It is such a bunch of bad words, a tight end, that you wanted to hope to get better. But right now, it's hard to have faith in it.
Well, so, and I'll admit too, like, so one of the things that I did in Trade Addicts 2 this year, I made a big trade about halfway through the season where I acquired Kelsey in a trade. I acquired Keenan Allen too in that same deal. But Kelsey, I mean, it was every week. He was just unbelievable. And with the scoring that way, now here's the other thing. We emphasize it even more in the Trade Addicts leagues is 1.75 points, per catch. So, you know, Kelsey is elite. He is the number one tight end in the game, in my opinion, right now. He's with Patty Mahomes, who targeted him more than Alex Smith targeted him this year. So, you know,
yeah, remember how worried people were about that?
Yeah, yeah. So
seems foolish now, right?
It does. Or it might not have been exactly as much. It was at least really close. I think it was
nothing
more,
to be worried anyway. About, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's tied. I mean, they're both going to be there until, you know, in tight ends. I mean, we've seen tight ends be productive into their mid-30s. I mean, Ben Watson and
Ben Watson into his 60s.
Watson is like one of my favorite all-time NFL players. So I always, anytime I get a chance to name drop him, I do it. But yeah, I mean, you know, Greg Olsen was 32, 33s doing stuff. Graham, Gronk. Well, Gronk's not there yet, but you know, so I mean, tight ends can produce later into their careers too. And I think Kelsey will. I think he'll be good for another 4-5 seasons. And with Mahomes throwing him the ball, as long as he doesn't get hurt, you know, I think he's going to be elite for several more seasons. Then he's going to be pretty darn good for a couple more after that. So that's why I decided to do it.
Okay, so let's jump into this string of questions. At Mr. Get Right wants to know, does tight end premium change tight end value for you a lot? You're shaking your head yes.
It does in this format. So 1.75, I think, is bigger for me than 1.5 would be. And it doesn't seem like a lot, but over the course of a season, you know, 80 catches.
I was about to say a course of 80 catches. I was going to use the exact same number, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's a lot of points. So, yeah, I think in this format it does. 1.5, maybe not as much, because those elite, those elite receivers that you're taking ahead are catching 100. Most of them are catching 100 balls.
I think the difference is seen more in trade value after the draft in tight end premium. I don't think anyone's taking Travis Kelce in the first in a non-premium league.
No.
But, you know, your average by the third round, the top three being gone, I think that happens in a non-premium league anyway. I think where premium comes into effect in startups is those mid-range guys. You'll see Njoku, OJ Howard, those guys fly off a lot quicker than they normally would have. I think there's a gigantic gap in non-premium between those three guys and when those young guys are getting drafted. It's probably 2-ish rounds, 3 rounds at most before mm-hmm. they start getting snatched up in a premium league.
Mm-hmm.
What after the draft, it's really hard to trade for a tight end in a tight end premium league.
Yeah, especially one of those elite ones.
Yeah. Oh, especially for one of those big boys. I still don't. I don't know. Maybe if we just like if you closed my eyes and called them something different besides tight ends, I'd probably understand and want them a lot more. But I don't know if it's still just bias of how bad that position's been for the past while. I think tight end premium it changes things. It doesn't change that much for me. I don't think I'm one of those guys that's going to go and get 6 tight ends because it's a premium and start them instead of guys at other positions. In 2 tight end leagues, which A, I'm not a fan of, but B, I'm in 1 or 2 of,
mm-hmm.
that changes value mm-hmm. because there are not many good tight ends and that you need 2 at least, and then you'll want a startable, usable bi-week replacement and injury insurance. So yeah, they become crazy valuable there. But yeah, does it change their value in tight end premium? Yes, that much.
All right,
the top guys.
Let's do something fun here. Okay, so between the top wide receiver, okay, and the 10th wide receiver. So we're talking all top 10 wide receivers. From the top wide receiver to the 10th wide receiver, what was the point differential, if you had to guess, without looking?
40 points.
It was 75.
Oh, wow.
Okay. From the top tight end to the fifth tight end. Okay, so we're cutting the number in half.
175.
It was 140.
Oh, no, wow. I was trying to be a jerk about it.
120. I'm sorry. Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's the difference between, you know, now one argument that can be made is, well, yeah, but you start more wide receivers. And that's true. I mean, that's absolutely true. But, you know, unless you have one of those top three guys, right? The point drop off from one position can make up for a lot of receiver. Like, you know, I mean, we're splitting hairs from, you're splitting hairs when you're talking the 10th versus the 15th wide receiver, you know, I mean, not really, you're not splitting hairs, but you get the point. There's a lot
comparatively. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot more viable options, I guess, than there are at the tight end position. And I think the advantage of having one of those top three guys, or four guys if it gets, or five guys if it gets there eventually, with, you know, guys like OJ Howard and David Njoku, and, you know, now they haven't done it yet, but they could. You know, Austin Hooper had a hell of a year last year. You know, so there's some other guys that are decent options, but I mean, all of those guys, none of those guys were in the top five. So yeah, when we're talking about those numbers, you know, and Eric Ebron scored 110 less points than Zach Ertz and Travis Kelce last year. And he scored like 90 touchdowns. Not really, but I mean, he scored like 11 or 12. So, I mean, you know, it's a significant advantage, in my opinion, with those guys.
All right. So you have the significant advantage with these top three guys. Fantasy Rookie Camp at Fantasy Rookies wants to know, do you sell these top three guys for a king's ransom, or do you just want that for your team? Now, you have a team that's, we'll even call you a competitor. Someone offers you David Njoku, Stefon Diggs, and a serviceable running back replacement for Travis Kelce. I've made that up off the top of my head. That's not really based on anything. But like, what do you think of something like that? To me, that's sort of a king's ransom for a tight end.
Okay. So for me, it's would you sell Juju for that? Would you sell Mike Evans for that? If the answer is yes, then yes, you sell Travis Kelce for that, or Zach Ertz for that. If the answer is no, then no, because that's how I'm valuing these guys in these leagues. And again, I want to stress 1.75 leagues, okay? Because that's what we play, and that's what we're talking about. 1.5, no. I would probably sell the tight end if I'm getting a guy like Njoku or OJ Howard back with another, you know, top 25-ish receiver and a serviceable running back. Yeah, I would probably sell them in that scenario. In the Trade Addicts leagues, I mean, it would need to be more than a serviceable running back. Need to be like Marlon Mack territory.
We have to talk about him at some point. Not right now, but I was listening to the Commission Impossible podcast, another member of the DLF family of podcasts, where Scott Fish was saying at this point, 2 points per catch for tight ends. Otherwise, there's no point.
Oh, man. See, now in that format, I absolutely, oh, I mean, there.
Travis Kelce, 103.
I mean, he would be.
It'd be up there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, man, imagine the Gronk and Jimmy Graham days at 2 points per reception. They would be 101s.
Yeah, they'd definitely be first assets off the board. Yep.
All right. Well, that's enough tight end talk. It's funny. Two Drink at FL Two Drink Minimum tweets at me. He's like, deep tight end sleepers in a startup asking for a friend, forgetting, and I should say, not realizing that he was actually up to draft and then drafted Hayden Hurst and Jonnu Smith. Like he didn't realize he was asking us who to freaking draft and didn't realize he was up already. And then he just went and drafted those two guys. So, hey, there's your late sleepers right there. Anyone else curious?
Yep.
Or at least that's who Two Drinks think is his late sleepers. Because what round are we in?
20th.
There you go. 20th round in Super Flex Startup.
I'm actually on deck. So I may make a pick on the air.
No, we're going to talk until it's your turn.
Oh, no, I'm up. I'm actually up. I've been up for half an hour. And Trade Addict.
Last few players off the board. Hayden Hurst, Jonnu Smith, Josh Reynolds, and Taewon Taylor. That gives everyone an idea as to where we are right now. Trends with startups. In Trade Addicts 5 and 6, compared to last year, quarterbacks went a lot earlier. I have drank the John Hogue Kool-Aid, which is a delicious watermelon-like flavor. And I got quarterbacks, I think, in the first... No. In first two rounds in one of them, I went Andrew Luck at the 109, and I got Deshaun Watson on the turn for Trade Addicts 5. And in 6, I grabbed... I traded up to get Mahomes. I can't believe I just forgot Patrick Mahomes' name. And I ended up grabbing, I think, Kirk Cousins way too early. I grabbed him in the...
407.
Trade Addicts. I got my leagues mixed up.
Trade Addicts 5, you have...
Cousins. Trade Addicts 6, I got Mahomes in the second. Mahomes in the first with the second pick. Watson on the turn in the second, and I grabbed Trubisky in the fourth.
Yeah,
my first three picks were quarterbacks.
Yep.
Bill Lattin had some words for me. He was not happy about that. But honestly, it was the best value I could see on the board. Like, drilled into my head, the cheapest quarterbacks are ever going to be are in the startup. And I'm looking at their Trade Addicts leagues. I'm looking, staring at this board, looking at all these values. I'm just like, I would not trade a quarterback for any of these guys on the board. I don't think ceilings are there. I'm just going to take the third quarterback and see what happens. I'm not doing that. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to corner the market so someone has to trade. Clearly, I hope someone does because it's a Trade Addicts league and that's fun. But I am now in the camp where you need three serviceable quarterbacks to play. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a fan of draft for talent, trade for need. And this is the way the board fell, and I couldn't trade back even though I tried. So yeah, that's how quickly quarterbacks seem to be going. I mean, Trubisky going in the fourth, he was... Well, let me pull up quarterbacks. 13th. The 13th quarterback off the board, Mitchell Trubisky at the 407. And wow, I started a run. Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matthew Stafford at the 501. I mean, that's 16, 17 quarterbacks in the first four rounds. Trade Addicts 5, let's pull it up real quick. In this one, I went Andrew Luck at the 109, and I got Kirk Cousins at the 407 because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12... quarterback 13 at the 407, and that spit off Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan at the through the 412, and I ended up grabbing Lamar Jackson at the 506. So again, I grabbed three quarterbacks right away, because again, I don't know if this is different for me where I'm in startups thinking of trade value. I mean, hashtag brand, I guess. I don't know if that's so different from what I used to do last year, but I'm sitting there looking at the players on the board, and it's just like, I just think these quarterbacks are worth more than everyone else. So I grabbed them. Did you notice anything else in these drafts that you think is different from last year, or there's anything you noticed in particular?
I definitely noticed the quarterbacks in Trade Addicts 6 for sure. They seem to be coming off the board pretty quick. I mean, they always do, but I feel like, I do legit think that John Hogue had something to do with that. I mean, everybody in the world knows that that guy's drafting like six quarterbacks.
He's
within the first eight rounds. Yeah. So
he let us know.
So I mean, I think everybody was kind of, we better get our quarterbacks if we want good ones, you know, or decent ones. So,
But yeah, a little off brand. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm okay waiting on wide receiver this year. Sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to start the 601.
Mm-hmm.
T.Y. Hilton, mm-hmm. 607. Robert Woods, 609. Tyler Boyd, 610. Cooper Kupp. Allen Robinson, Alshon Jeffrey, Chris Godwin, Sammy Watkins, all before the end of the seventh round in Trade Addicts 6. Trade Addicts 5.
Yep. Allen Robinson was 602.
Jarvis Landry, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, Mike Williams, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, Cortland Sutton, all before the end of the seventh.
Yep.
Like, I don't want these guys to be my wide receiver ones,
mm-hmm.
but I wide receiver twos.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like, to me, there's great, great wide receiver value. I think it's because the quarterbacks went very early in our drafts, but I think the league is very top heavy at running back right now, so it goes very quick,
mm-hmm.
which is why, again, I ended up taking quarterbacks because I didn't, they were the best value there because running back was dead, and I saw these wide receivers later, and I'm just like, I don't think I need to buy on these wide receivers when I could take what will be a more valuable player mm-hmm. in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, like, I've never felt this way before, and it's a little weird. Because I'm always team six wide receivers in a row, but I'm a changed man. It's weird to feel, but that, and I don't know if that's like wide receiver optimism about those guys, but I do feel very optimistic about all of those guys we listed.
Mm-hmm.
So again, not as your wide receiver one or anything. I mean, I got Mike Evans in Trade Addicts 5 at 204, which I'm thrilled with. Then grabbed Tyler Boyd. Those are just wide receivers. Yeah, as my wide receiver two in the seventh. And then followed it up with three picks in the 10th of Robbie Anderson, Dante Pettis, and Anthony Miller. Sorry, I was staring. So yeah, that's something I don't know if that's something I could say I noticed, but it's something that I don't know. It's different than anything I've ever done. And I think that's fun. I think it's, you know, new.
Yeah.
Well, we just talked about Allen Robinson, so let's just quickly get, and you know, we know you're an A-Rob guy too. Mm-hmm. Dirty Bird Dynasty at Bird Dynasty. What do we think realistically of A-Rob can be on the Bears, assuming Trubisky is healthy the entire season? Top 15, top 20. What is your assumptions on Allen Robinson?
I don't know. My heart says... It depends. Well, you know, my heart versus my head, right? And what is the realistic answer or what is the balance of those two things? You know, I think that Allen Robinson has the talent to be, I mean, I think a top 20 receiver is realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he finished 36th this year. You know, the difference in the 20th wide receiver, which was actually Emmanuel Sanders, which is kind of hard to believe. Because
he was smoking in the beginning, though.
Yeah, yeah, he was. And Robinson at 36 was 45 points, or about 5 points per game, 5.5 points per game. I think Robinson, you know, the problem with Robinson this year was consistency. He wasn't really consistent. He had a couple of games. I think he had three games where he scored like 17 or more points, but then he had a bunch of games where he scored under 10 points, like four of his last six, he scored under 10 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. He had one real bad dud, in week 7, 1.4 fantasy points.
I remember that game well.
Yeah. So, you know, I attribute some of that to first year in a new, you know,
it's the first year in a new offense, coming back off the injury. Maybe.
Right. Mitch Trubisky not being as accurate as, although he can't be that much worse than Blake Bortles, can he? Right. So I don't know. I think that this offense is going to get better under Matt Nate. How the hell do you say that? Nagy. I always do that with him. I don't know why. But yeah, I think I think that offense is going to get better. I think Trubisky, you know, coming into his third season, I think he'll and second season in this offense, I think he'll be better. I think Allen Robinson has the talent to be the player that he was, you know, that 80 catch, 1400 yard, double digit touchdown guy. I think he has that talent.
Will it happen on this team?
I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, for me, I would take 75, 1108.
Yeah. I think definitely a wide receiver too, for sure.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I think that, you know, I think that he can get back there. You know, that's just me. The other thing about Allen Robinson that everybody forgets too, he's young. I mean, everybody thinks he's so old because he's been around for a long time. He came out as a junior. He was 21 years old. He's been in a league 5 years. He's 26. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if he's 26 yet. He might be 25 still. Yeah. So he's 25. He'll be 26 heading into the season. So he's young. I mean, he's got years left too. It's not like he's, you know, it seems like he's been around forever, but you know, he really has. He hasn't, you know, he's still young. So I think there's time for him to, you know, come back essentially and become that wide receiver two range guy.
So here's my optimism.
Mm-hmm.
He missed two games, and then after he came back, targets 874 Darius Slay, 9878.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of targets. Nagy spreads the ball around. I don't think anyone's consistently going to be getting double digit targets. I just don't think that's the offense. But he was also looking good at the end of the season physically. So, like you said, another year in the offense, another year on that healthy knee.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can consistently get these targets, 15 to 20, wide receiver 15 to 20 is safe to say with a higher ceiling if he catches more than four touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm still an A-Rob fan. I was very high on him. Like, you know, my bold take was like him being a top 10 wide receiver or something, which I think I was just, you know, why the hell not, shooting for the moon. Mm-hmm. But 15, I would not be surprised if he walks in wide receiver 13 to 16 last year, walks out of this coming year 13 to 16 wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just,
yeah, I agree.
Yep. We said his name a few times and I know, you know, that's your boy.
Yep.
So before we either wind down or work in another question or two, I just want to get this other big boy Trade Addicts trade in here. Trade Addicts 4, Baker Mayfield, Todd Gurley, and the 101 for Andrew Luck, Tyreek Hill, and a 2021st.
Ooh.
This was... I couldn't find the Twitter poll, so I don't know what the percentage was. But, man, there's so many good players in this. Have you looked at this? Like, are you ready to talk, or do you want me to go?
Yeah, I mean, I can. It's up to you. If you want to jump in on this, all right, one, so go for it.
Let's just try and do this. Are we in agreement that you have to pay up from Baker to get to Andrew Luck?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
Yep.
Andrew
Luck's my QB, too. So
exactly. He's around there-ish for me, too. I mean, I took him as QB2. So mm-hmm. I guess that sort of makes him my QB2.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I don't think you need to pay the 101 from Baker, but I think there's probably a first in between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Gurley and Tyreek are actually not really that far apart with the different. Okay, it shouldn't take Tyreek and a 21st to get to Gurley, in my mind. I don't think it should take a full first anymore. I think Gurley is not the RB1 anymore. not even the RB2 in a lot of people's minds. I don't think he went as RB2 in either of our drafts. I think this is a pretty awesome trade. I think I'm a fan of this. I think I am going to go against my bay and take the luck side.
Oh, man, this one's... Yeah, I mean, I think the value is right on this based on where we are today. Wow. So here's a couple things about particular. First of all, I've been on the Andrew Luck train.
So oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, he was coming back off the shoulder. I'm a huge fan of his. I love owning Andrew Luck anywhere I can own him, especially now that he's actually playing football, because I sat on him in several leagues during the shoulder stuff. So I don't think Baker, you have to pay up from Baker right now. Having said that, Baker's value right now is, I mean, he's a top five quarterback in these drafts right now. Isn't he? Is he? Where did he go? I want to look at that because that's interesting to me.
He went 304 in TradeAddicts 5, QB 1, 2, 3, 4, QB 5.
Okay. Yep, right behind Aaron Rodgers.
And in 6, he was QB 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at the 205.
Okay, so he's a top 5 quarterback right now already.
Wow, there's a full round difference in between where QB 5 went in between TradeAddicts 5 and 6.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing for me. I understand the concern around Todd Gurley, but do you remember what happened the last time we all questioned Todd Gurley? Do you remember what happened? Remember like my best trade ever that I couldn't think of when you asked me the question?
Like a year ago?
Yeah, like a year ago when we were doing the question and I couldn't think of it. My best trade ever was after that season. So after his sophomore season in the NFL, I traded for Gurley. I traded LeSean McCoy in a first. It was like a 109 for Gurley.
Wow.
That's the best trade I've ever made, probably. And I've now won back-to-back championships in that league because of that. So I don't know. I think I understand it based on the playoff usage, because it is kind of strange. Like, what the hell happened there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the guy doesn't go from being the best back in the league, arguably, to
the dynasty one,
the fifth or sixth best back in the league over the course of 3 weeks. Not to me, he doesn't. I mean, so, you know, he is falling. I mean, his value is falling. When you look up at the startups, when you look at the mocks, you know, and ADP numbers and all that, his value is dropping.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think this is a great time to buy him, because I'm sorry, but CJ Anderson isn't.
He's the best fullback in the league. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, and he doesn't have competition there.
Todd Gurley, number 4 in February ADP. Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley.
See, and I'd rather have Gurley. Oh, man, McCaffrey.
I'd rather, okay, this is weird. I'd rather have Gurley over McCaffrey, but not over Elliott.
I would. But that for me is character concerns. So it's not player. I mean, yeah. I mean, Zeke, I just don't know with him.
And it looks Gurley went 6th in one of the mocks. That's what dropped him to 4.
Yeah. Yeah. How about the people sitting at 106 that are getting Nuke Hopkins?
No, man.
How sick is that?
106, DeAndre Hopkins. Well, let's just, Kamara's at 5. Hopkins at 6. Odell at 7. Michael Thomas at 8. Davante Adams at 9. Tyreek at 10. Melvin Gordon at 11. Juju at 12. Chubb at 13. Evans at 14, Mixon at 15, Keenan at 16. Man, to draft at the end and just, or imagine like, oh, trading back to get those wide receivers and getting multiple of them.
Mm-hmm.
So sexy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sorry, that derailed.
So anyway, yeah, no, this trade I think is very even based on current values. I have concerns with Tyreek too. So
I mean, yeah, he's a terrible human being, but he hasn't done anything recently.
I also have, I mean, Baker's, and I mean,
don't you dare.
I would probably take the Baker side here, but it would be really close.
Yeah, it comes down to a little bit of preference. Do you?
Actually, I would probably take the Baker's, the Baker luck side of this.
Okay, but that's how you know this is good, is when you really can't choose. I mean, Luck and Baker at this point, value-wise, aren't all that far apart. Luck is a little more valuable. It's a bit of a preference call, I guess. Gurley and Tyreek is a big preference call, whether you want running back or wide receiver. And then, do you care about this draft class? Or are you all in on 2020? I mean, a lot of things come into play in this. I think this was a great trade, and I don't think Twitter liked it that much. I don't remember who went nuts, but I remember it was not received well.
Mm-hmm.
But who cares? I care. I care, I promise. is there anything else good to talk about? No, I think I'm tired. I think we're going to stop now. Yeah, we're going to stop talking now. I've just
stopped. These guys are wearing me out in the Trade Addict 6 chat.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You got to make your pick now. That's right. We're not stopping until you make your pick.
Oh, man. I haven't even been looking at it.
Go with your gut, man.
Let's go. I am actually going to take Justin Jackson.
Because all right, so Justin Jackson, that's a pretty good pick, because
if
Melvin Gordon wants to get injured at the end of the year.
Well, if he doesn't sign, or if he doesn't sign.
Oh, truth.
Because he's going to want Gurley, Lev Bell money.
And there you go. That's smart, because I'm sure people asked what are some good late round flyers to take. I think that's an excellent late round flyer.
Yeah. So, I took it.
Brian Haar steps up to the podium with the 232nd pick in the Trade Addicts 6 draft. Brian Haar selects Justin Jackson, running back, Los Angeles Chargers. That was good. That was fun. Oh, man. We need to do like a live stream draft where we have to actually announce all of our picks.
That'd be amazing.
At least like for the first few rounds, because I can't imagine us being online long enough to announce the 232nd pick.
Right.
All right, well, I am done talking. It is late. I'm tired, and I'm rambling. And so we're going to wind out a bit.
And I've been sick for 2 days. I didn't puke on the live stream, so that's good.
Thankfully, that would have been awful. You would have vomited. I would have vomited. Trish would have heard me from upstairs and started vomiting. Kids would have woken up, started vomiting. It would have been awful. But before we go, Brian wrote an article.
I did.
For DLF.
About the Steelers, yes.
About them Steelers. So go read that. TradeAddictsPod.StoreEnvy.com. Go buy some of our awesome, awesome swag. I just got matching shirts for me and my son. Going to get pictures of that up pretty soon, because I don't care what you guys think. I think it's going to be freaking adorable. what else? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. We appreciate any and all help you can. This stuff costs a little bit of money, so it'd be lovely to not have to actually have to pay for it ourselves, because hey, I'm cheap. I put it out on Twitter, and in case somebody out there missed it, if you have a podcast and you have a t-shirt for your podcast, hit me up, let me know. Once a month with our, man, I forgot the word Patreon already, with the money we get from Patreon, I'm going to buy a new podcast t-shirt every single month, just to help support all those brands out there. I don't know. It's a fun thing to do. Most of my t-shirts are, I'm wearing a Bull Rush Pod t-shirt right now. Most of my t-shirts at this point are fantasy football related. Thank you, RotoWear, which are fantastic. So yeah, buy our stuff, Patreon, give us some of your money, and go support every pod, not just ours. Everybody's awesome. I also put on Twitter today that I crushed through 7 podcasts today, and I am still 18 behind being caught up. And that's not including all the new ones that are going to get posted before I get caught up. That's how much awesome content there is. And I don't, like I said, I'm not sure if I am overwhelmed or overly excited, just because I love these podcasts. I think everyone does an awesome job, and you learn something almost every single show. So keep making that content, keep supporting that content. You haven't stopped me from rambling yet.
I love this. This is my favorite part of the show.
Just listening to me go before I say, I'm done. Good night, Brian.
Yeah, pretty much. I love it.
All right. Well, on that note, good night, Brian.
Night, Outhouse.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. And follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Hart F. Please remember to subscribe and review the podcast.